Hi, I'm Onas.
And I'm Grace.
We love the Wheel of Time fandom, and we love talking about why it's so special.
Our mission is to give back to the fandom through projects that amplify the fun and camaraderie.
I thought it was we make people cry.
Yeah, but in a good way.
This is
The Lights Work.
Hello and welcome back to The Lights Work. This is Ennis, and as always, I have my very talky friend with me, Grace. Grace, why are you a talky friend?
I'm a talky friend because we just recorded with Takaran Riyadh. We were on their podcast episode this week, and we surprised them.
We did. Like, I don't know why people are still shocked or surprised by our surprises. They should see it coming now, but we're that good.
Well, we hadn't done one like this in a while, so maybe they forgot about this. We made them a video for their anniversary, which was in September, and It was their third anniversary, right?
Fourth,
really? Oh man, yeah. Good 2019. Yeah, you're right. Fourth anniversary. Wow. Yeah, and we love them. You know, we've admired them for a long time, and they have, you know, it's one of our favorite podcasts, and they do so much and contribute so much to the fandom. So we wanted to do something nice for them.
Yeah. So what you're going to hear is hear that video. I don't know. Do we need to explain this video?
No, we don't need to explain the video, but I think we can say that this is stuff we recorded for the podcast, but it is now in video form, which you can see on our YouTube channel. But if you're a podcast listener, and you know, maybe you want to listen to us on your commute and you don't want to watch a video, You can enjoy the audio version of this.
Yeah, exactly. So what you're going to hear from here on outwards is kind of that audio from the video with maybe some extra stuff. I don't know. Listen and find out. No, don't. I don't want you to listen. No, actually, try to find out what we added. No, don't do that. That's bad.
Wow, that's a lot. There's text slides in the video, and that's what we're going to be reading to you.
Oh, that's so boring.
I know.
Just explaining. Like,
I know. But that's what we do. You say something completely chaotic, and I make it boring.
It's like, no, tell us all the differences between the video and the podcast recording. And you're like, no, it's just us reading.
So it starts with a rising sun on a background of dark gray. And it says, it has our chibis pop up. And then it says, I'm not gonna keep going.
This is the video text version of that. You know, when you have like, when you watch shows and they have the, like, Rand is now walking in the foregate. a beggar throws him, like, no, he gives money to a small child. Like, what is that called? Like,
oh, I forget. Narration?
It's called, it's something specific where, like,
it's like alt text, but for video.
Yeah, it's alt text for video in between, like the actual dialogue, right?
Yeah.
Like what is happening on screen right now.
Right. Yeah. Stage directions, it would be in like a play form. It would say
it's
like,
something very specific. Yeah. I forget what it is.
Well, I don't think we're going to do that though. We're not going to be like, Jen smiles, Joe laughs. I don't know.
Yes, Jen does smile and Joe does laugh. And Tom does
cry.
He does make mention of crying, though.
He does. Yes. Make sure you listen all the way to the end.
Yes. All right. Cool. Have fun.
Once upon a time in August, the Lights Work podcast interviewed Joe, Jen, and Tom separately.
We told them it was for a three-part series on Takaran Riyadh. It was, but
it was mostly so we could make this video for their anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
When we recorded, we asked each of the hosts a set of secret questions.
They have not heard each other's answers until now.
First question, how did the three of you meet?
So we went to college together, all three of us. We went to St. John's here in New York.
Joe and I met freshman year of college. We were in the same speech and debate class.
I was in a class with Tom. I think it was speech class. And I remember he told this like ridiculous story.
I remember him first because we had to do a speech about our personal hero. And he did Hannibal from the A-Team. And I thought that was awesome.
You're supposed to tell a story about like a funny story about something that happened.
I think he liked, we had to do an extemporaneous story. I told a story about how I had to hide out of my friend's window to not get caught doing something. I think he thought that was interesting.
He told this ridiculous story about, like, I don't remember, his friend almost falling out the window. It was all bullshit. He made the whole story up.
We didn't become friends until our sophomore year.
And I just knew him from that. Like, we never really had a conversation.
I became friends with two groups of people. And then I found out they were friends with each other and they were all friends with Joe.
I had other friends and I went to go visit. Two of them worked together in the mall and I went to go visit them and Tom was there. And they like became friends with Tom because they worked with him. And I was like, oh, I was like, I know you from speech class. And they're like, oh yeah. You know, so like we became friends that way because he worked with a couple of other friends of mine.
Jen auditioned for the theater group that I was in. She's a year younger than me. So when her freshman year, my sophomore year, she came in, she auditioned, and we were like, oh, she's like really awesome.
We were in a play together. The heck was it called? Rehearsal for Murder. I think he came over like I'm not sure if it was at the first practice or at the audition. It might've been at the audition and talked to me that day.
And that was a play. And then we did the musical that was in the fall, and in the spring we did a musical and we're like, oh, she's really awesome.
Just became friends being in plays like from then on out. And there was a place in the school was called the Atrium, and it was just like a, you know, a glass room, and like nobody cool sat there, so that was like our corner. Anytime you didn't have class but you were on campus, we were in the Atrium. We got our food from the cafeteria and we ate it in the Atrium, and so you always knew like if you were like looking for anyone, they were in that spot.
Technically, Jen and I have never met.
Oh, yeah. We talked to Brendan, too.
We joke that I'm the resident hashtag never reader on the show. I think that's as close to an official title as I have. That or friend of the show, capital F, capital S, friend of the show. So Jen and I were in the same freshman class, and we were in a bunch of classes together. So we just kind of knew about each other. We knew each other from these classes that we took together, but we weren't really friends. We didn't really know each other.
Tom and those friends did some theater stuff at St. John's, and Jen was part of theater. So I met her through them doing theater and just being friends with them that, I got introduced to Jen.
In my sophomore year, I started hanging out with Tom and some other guys from the theater group that Jen was also in. So Jen was there when I started hanging out, and when I was being introduced to people, we both sort of like waved it off. It's like, oh yeah, I know Brendan, I know Jen. So the running joke for the last 20 years is that no, we've never technically met. We just happen to know each other.
I might have met Joe playing D&D because we had a group of our friends who played D&D. Tom played D&D too, but there was a group of us who would play D&D, and Joe would use his secret Wheel of Time names that I didn't know at the time that were his characters.
And we convinced them, me and my other friends convinced the two of them to play Dungeons and Dragons with us. They had never played before, wouldn't do it. We wore them down, got them to play, and they loved it.
Got him to play guitar for I think senior year show, but he would hang out in the Atrium too. But he didn't act, he was just a musician.
Tom and I grew up like two blocks away from each other for 18 years and never encountered each other at all until we were well into our 20s.
And we became friends pretty quickly, I think.
You know, we were all in a group from then on out.
Whose idea was it to start the podcast?
It was Joe's idea.
They were over at my house for a barbecue in the summer, that summer. I think it was 2019, I guess, right? 2019.
He was having a summer barbecue at his house.
We were at Joe's house for a barbecue.
I have a bunch of friends who I know who read the series. So then I was like, okay, who am I going to do the podcast with? So I literally made a list of all my friends that have read The Wheel of Time. And I started writing like a pros and cons for each of them.
And like he had made mention that there were other people that was thinking of, but I didn't find out that there was a ranked list with pros and cons until years later.
Yeah. And then I was like, all right. And I went through the list and I was like, okay, let me try Jen and Tom first.
And we were all there and he was like, do you guys want to do a podcast about Wheel of Time? And I was like, yeah, all right. I don't know. He had been
and he's like, hey, you want to do a podcast? I was like, yeah.
Listening to Watt Spoilers. So he was like, I want to do this.
When they announced Rosamund as playing Moraine, we were all excited. We're like, oh wow, this is pretty cool.
We were talking about the Wheel of Time coming out, and I was like, yeah, I want to do a podcast about this. You guys want to be on the podcast? And like, not a hesitation. Tom was like, yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. Like right away. And Jim was like, yeah, I'll do that.
I had been bouncing around the idea of doing a podcast with Brendan for a while, except he was like, no, every one of your ideas are bad.
Tom asked me. I didn't take a lot of convincing.
Because I wanted to do a podcast that was like, had multiple topics. It was like just and he's like, you can't do, nobody wants to listen to that. They want to listen about a thing that you're going to talk about.
And I had been on it a couple of times before. They did the pronunciation game episodes a couple of times, which I won the second one of, not to brag.
And then when Joe offered this, I was like, yeah, I'm in. And I asked him, I was like, who else are you thinking of? And he's like, Jen. And she was like, he pointed her, she was over there. I was like, okay, good.
Like, yeah, all right. Me and Tom were just like, if you do everything and we just show up and talk, like, yeah, we'll do it.
Yes, because they wanted the perspective of someone who hasn't read the books. And Tom asked, and I said, yeah, sure.
I was kind of like looking for the right fit. Like, okay, this person is very outgoing and this person's more analytical. You know, I was trying to get like the different personality types together because I didn't want to get like three people who all think the same way.
I really want to see that list. I know who some of the other people were. Some of the other people, I don't know if the whole list, but I know some of the other people that he considered doing, that you sort of bring on the show. And I think that he did want different energies. And I think that we do provide that.
And he did everything and he's been doing everything since. Like sometimes we have to research, sometimes not. But yeah, Joe's like the dad on Talk Around Riyadh.
What's the best thing about Joe?
Joe is not my co-host. Joe is the host of the show, and Jen and I are the co-hosts.
I like the way he handles everything. Like, he researches everything. I don't know how he has time, but he's, like, working always on this podcast.
Does lion's share of the work, and I think it's tremendous. He always has to be prepared. When Jen and I, if we weren't prepared, we could probably get away with it.
It's like editing, posting, learning new things, like how to, like when we were on that first YouTube episode, he was just like, are we on? I don't even know how anybody does this. This is crazy. And now he's just like, oh, I'm on here. And he figured everything out.
Like, someone had to learn how to do all that stuff, and someone had to be invested enough to do all that stuff. And that's him.
Like, I used to be on Discord on my phone because we couldn't. Now he's like, oh, I'm running us all through Talk Around. Like, he's always looking for like something to make the podcast better.
I give him all the credit in the world, because if he didn't, or if he couldn't, it wouldn't get done.
He shares a screen and I'm like, what are you doing? Like, this is insane. The amount of notes you have. I'm like at work typing in like Microsoft Word and I have like 6 bullet points. So I'm like, okay, I'm ready. Let's go. Joe's got like the history of Randland in like 6 parts. I'm like, okay.
And he does all of the tech work on the show. All of it. Like, I do nothing. I don't know how to do any of that stuff. I know how to record a file and send it to him. That's it.
Joe is probably the most universally liked person I've ever met. Like, if somebody told me they didn't like Joe, I wouldn't believe them. And if they insisted that they didn't like Joe, I'd probably just stop talking to them.
Like, very easy to get along with. He doesn't have like, he doesn't get mad a lot. So I can't even remember an argument I ever had with him.
What's the most annoying thing about Joe?
Honest to God, I can't think of anything about Joe that annoys me. And I know that sounds ridiculous.
I don't know. God, that seems terrible. I can't think of one bad thing about him. He's perfect.
Joe doesn't listen all the time.
I don't know. Maybe he spends too much time on the podcast. That's what his wife would say, probably.
This is like an annoying thing that isn't an annoying thing. Like, he's maybe a little too sure of himself. Like, I don't know how he does it. Like, he never seems unsure of his opinions or the correctness of his position on anything.
I don't know. I'm going to have to think about that one and message you guys.
All right.
Next time he annoys me, I'll be like, I got it.
I mean, if anything, that's the annoying part.
Right.
That's exactly. The annoying thing about Joe is that there's nothing annoying about him.
Immediately, he's going to be like, Jen sucks. Let me tell you 10 reasons why.
What's the best thing about Jen?
I think Jen is the reason that our show works. She's unbelievably intelligent. She's very, very insightful. She has a unique dynamic with the both of us, right? That allows us to kind of like not get locked into our own worldviews, allows us to poke fun at ourselves and each other in a way that I think Joe and I, when we do that, it would be more mean-spirited than it is with Jen.
So I remember there was like an episode where like we were getting on Jen about something. Somebody sent us a DM and was very upset about the way we treated Jen on the episode. Like very seriously, like, you know, you guys are really rough on Jen. That's not nice, blah, 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 like going on and on about it. And Jen was laughing hysterical at it. I feel bad, but Jen was laughing hysterical at it because I was like, they don't know like the relationship that we have each other, that we're just like having fun.
I say it tongue in cheek, but I mean it. She's the talent. Like,
Jen is the most broadly talented person I've ever met. She's funny. She can sing. She can act. She's a great friend. She's a great mom. She's a great, she's great. I mean, you know, Jen.
I think that I could be replaced on the show. And I don't mean that like facetiously. I don't mean that with false humility. She's irreplaceable.
What's the most annoying thing about Jen?
Jen for a while would not be awake necessarily for the end of the episodes. I was actually at a party, music, loud music, dancing, things like that. She just fell asleep standing up.
I will say that Jen's microphone that she uses, it's her husband's microphone. It's a very expensive, nice microphone. It picks up every single thing that happens in the booths that she's in when she's recording. And it drives me nuts when editing.
What is the most annoying thing about Jen? She's really short.
I'm also a early bird, not a night owl. And when we do cons and we do stuff like that, I go to bed and she's still partying. I don't know how she does it because she can't do it any other time. So
she gets bad allergies. So in the spring, there's a lot of sniffing and going on in there that I have to edit out.
Like, she's really short. I don't know how she and I are the same species.
What's the best thing about Tom?
He always laughs at our jokes really hard. I like that about him. He knows a lot of things. He's like the historian among us. So he'll be like, he's got a brain for that kind of stuff. So that's what he's good at. And I'm like the comic relief in the middle.
I mean, Tom was the best man at my wedding. Tom's oldest son is my godson. He's my best friend. There's a scene in the movie Tombstone where Val Kilmer plays Doc Holliday. And Doc Holliday is he's like a scoundrel and a ne'er-do-well, but he joins up with Wyatt Earp and his lawman vigilante crusaders. And at one point, they just had this big fight that they barely survived. And one of the other guys says to Doc Holliday, he says, you know, why are you doing this? And Doc Holliday says, because Wyatt Earp is my friend. And the other guy says, hell, I got lots of friends. And Doc Holliday says, I don't. And that's how I feel about Tom.
What's the most annoying thing about Tom?
I don't know. Maybe Tom talks too much sometimes. He knows that too. We've all told him that before. It's not a surprise to him.
Tom's stubborn. I'll leave it at that. He's stubborn about things.
So that's one of the reasons why I invited him.
Was that a pro in Tom?
That was a pro. It was like, I was like, well, Tom talks a lot. He'll go on and on. I was like, this way I don't have to worry about talking too much. That was a pro for Tom.
Pro rants.
Like, if I know I'm right and he thinks he's right, because I know he's not right, I just have to give up on fighting him because he'll never give in.
Whenever we would, like, a group of us would go out to eat, Tom would always be like the last one to finish. He'd still like have like 70% of his food left and we're all done. And his brother used to be like, Tom, stop talking so much. Everybody's eaten already and you've been talking the whole time that you haven't eaten any of your food.
And I mean, the most annoying thing about Tom is like, it's the fact that he doesn't live next door to me.
We have like jokes going back years about like things he swears are true and like, no, but you can't bring it up because he'll get so mad about it.
I live in Jersey. He still wants that man.
That's why I said before, like, I love pushing his buttons because he gets so mad about stuff.
Anything else I could say would be a joke and I don't want to, like, you know, any other time I would just insult him, but this is, it's a special occasion. So yeah.
He just doesn't want to be wrong and that's okay. Nobody wants to be wrong, you know?
How far exactly is the cave from the Aes Sedai camp in season 1, episode 4?
It's very far. It's too far away.
I don't think it's that far.
Far enough is my answer.
I think the running is stopped so often, like because of the fighting, that they aren't actually covering as much of a as much terrain as he thinks they are.
All right. So I don't know exact distance. I would say a couple of hundred yards, probably.
Oh, and then, no, we were arguing about if the wards, he thought the wards were just like around the cave.
Oh, don't get me on the cave. Don't get me talking about the cave.
And I remember screaming like they're around the whole camp. The whole thing is enclosed with, why would they only put the wards around the cave? Because then by the time they went off, you're dead.
It must be around the whole camp because the wards go off when they're attacking back at the camp.
There's just a cave in the center, the camps of the Aes Sedai surrounding it. They're not in one camp. Joe doesn't get this, but it's like they don't like each other. Like the reds are over here, the blues and the greens are over there. They're like surrounding. The cave is in the middle. They're protecting the outskirts. This group of people come in, like in between where they are, and chaos ensues.
My question is just so like, why is he in the cave? And what happens tomorrow night when you're not near a cave? What do you do with Loghain?
It's not a well set up camp, but I think that season one talks a lot about how the Aes Sedai think that they know what is best, but don't actually know what's best.
And the warders weren't there. Why weren't the warders there with their Aes Sedai? It doesn't make any sense. Sorry.
That's the worst thing about Joe.
What's the funniest moment to happen while recording?
We had the people from TwaCast on, and I don't even know what the heck we were talking about, but we were talking about, like, I think, like, Moraine was in her room at the Winespring Inn, and then all these trolls came, and she had to, like, just run out, but she was, like, fully dressed or whatever, and, like, I don't even think I think she's out, actually out in the town when you watch the show. But we get into this whole thing about how she was wearing a hairnet, except nobody remembered what that was called. So, like, we started calling it a night net that you would, and like, it's it doesn't make any sense. I can't tell you the amount of, we couldn't breathe. There were six of us on the, we could not breathe.
I do remember one, but I can't remember what it was. Like, where we had a pause, I remember I was just laughing uncontrollably for like a minute or so, and we had to like literally pause and take a break, and then we would like start, I'd be like, okay, I'm good, and we'd start again, and I'd just start busting out again laughing, but I can't remember what we were talking about though. It was just so absurd, I guess, because there's so many times where we're just like getting to laughing fits.
Did our predictions for what would happen in every episode of season 2. Jen went second. It was one of the funniest episodes we've ever done, in my opinion. We couldn't believe it. And it's like, it wasn't that Jen's predictions, I want to be clear, it was not that Jen's predictions were particularly ridiculous. They were much in line with Joe's and mine, that being completely wrong, not on purpose, but just completely wrong. But her incomprehension of the fact that she would have to be asked to explain or defend any of the choices that she made, like, that was what was hysterical about it to me. Just any clarifying question, which is, and we're like, so after like the third or fourth time of us just trying to understand why she went from A to B, like that episode was very, very fun for me.
Well, Jen was trying to get out her breakdown and she couldn't get it out because she was laughing too hard.
Yeah, there's a couple where I just remember like dying. One where our friend Brendan was on. Our friend Brendan does like the non-spoiler stuff. And I just remember him saying like, we lost Jen. Like I was silent laughing, but I can't remember what it was.
When I came back to do the season one rewatch, I stopped listening to the show after the first season because I take my position as the person who doesn't know anything seriously. And now that I have context, I didn't want to get anything else. So I didn't know about Where's What Origins, and they just started playing the theme music at the beginning of the show, and it went on for like a minute and I didn't know what was happening. And when it was fantastic, and that's, you know, that segment's great and the music's incredible. But that's probably my favorite moment from recording.
A lot of times where we're just like, I'm just like crying and I can't breathe. I love that.
What is your favorite inside joke?
Well, my favorite joke from the beginning, because I was the one who started it, was the research team on the, you know, on the 11th floor, the 9th floor, wherever they were. I like the idea of presenting our show as there was this huge machine behind it, like running it, and we were just the front-facing piece of that.
So early on, our research team, yeah, they did a lot of work for us. We had to let them go, though.
I love when Joe says something, and Jen and I both know it's a song lyric. And Joe does it. Like it's like usually a Broadway song lyric or like a movie song or something like that. Some sort of musical song lyric. And Joe doesn't know those. She's like, he'll be talking and Jen and I just be singing. And like, he would be like, what is this? So it's not so much as like an inside joke specific, but like when that happens, that amuses me to no end.
The Barbers was always one of my favorite. There's an episode where I'm just crying. I think it was Joe reading there was like an excerpt from a book where it literally mentioned a barber. And I'm just like crying, laughing at that. How happy I was to get Tom about the barbers. Like I literally sobbed tears of joy pointing out his wrongness. I hope he doesn't listen to this. He's going to hate me.
A while ago on one of the episodes, I think it was like when we saw like one of the teasers or something like that. I don't even remember the origin of it, but we made up the name of like some guy who like worked on a crew member, like a grip or a cameraman, like Dimitri Rukamafe or something like that. I just made up like this bogus name, and it became like a thing on the show for a while. It's totally gone by now, but we would refer to him a lot of times about just this made up like crew member on the show, Dimitri Rukamafe or something.
It's will never stop being funny to me that they've recorded 200 plus episodes ostensibly about a television show that's maybe going to get 60. Like if it goes as long as they want it to. That's a hell of an accomplishment right there.
How have you seen Joe do the lights work?
You know, I made mention before about how like, we as creators will just like be there for each other and like, hey, your questions are going well. So I've known Joe to do this time and again, like, hey, this is how I do this. This is how I get this to work. This is how this works for me, like structure wise for like, how do you do a podcast? How do you edit? How do you get
it's very helpful to other people as far as like the technical stuff. So he's always willing to, you know, give suggestions like at WACON. You know, he's always like helping run the tech, and so he's always very helpful and like willing to offer up his time and his like knowledge to help other people get started.
I think that Joe in particular like really gives of his time to like help other people out. I mean, you know, you talk about it and doing that, like he talked about him doing that at WACON, like that's what he likes, to like work and see the fruit of that work, see people enjoy that. I don't think Jen feels the same way. Like, we look at that as work.
How have you seen Jen do the lights work?
Jen's been really great with the hen news, and she's been like really into it, and in like the fact that she like engages a lot with Juliet and Like, I know Juliet posts a lot about like the fresh start for hens and all those hen rescues, and Jen makes sure to like always retweet them and, you know, try to push people to sign up and rescue hens. We're still trying to get somebody to send us somebody to actually rescue a hen and then send us a picture. We keep telling people, like, send us a picture if you rescue a hen with your hen. But we haven't gotten anything yet. I'm a little disappointed in that.
Jen like brings a light to things, and like I think when she does her performances, her vocal performances, her songs and things of that nature, like whether it be the parodies that we've done or like singing at the cons, you know, I think that just that brings people together.
How have you seen Tom do the lights work?
Like, Tom is very supportive of people on Twitter. He's often like the one that's like retweeting other people and like pointing out good, you know, good tweets, or like, oh, this person has something coming up, like you guys should listen to this, or this is funny. And so I think they both, again, like very supportive of the other people out there in the fandom.
At like the conventions, he's made it like a point of his to go and like talk to a lot of different people and like people he doesn't know, and, you know, be put himself out there for other people, like when we're like at in-person events, for sure. So I would say that about him.
Are there barbers in Randland?
Of course there are. We've proven it. I think it was the Great Hunt that Jen found it in Kyrian. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were in Kyrian. First mention of barbers.
Absolutely there are, yes.
Tom refused to believe there were. And if I remember now, the whole bet was that if, because there were barbers, Tom had to shave his beard on the podcast episode.
You know, I had to shave my beard while we did the show because of that.
You could hear like the buzzer going off. And that was actually the first episode that we ever had a guest. We had our friend Rob, who's on Audio Dungeon with Tom, who was one of the two people who got me to read The Wheel of Time.
Like, it was not enough that Jen found like that there were barbers in the foregate or whatever. But the fact that on the show, like, they go see a barber like immediately, I was like, God damn it.
So yeah, Tom had to shave his beard on Mike.
What keeps you coming back to record Talk Around Rioid every week?
I still have fun every week. I'm always excited. Like, even if I'm tired and I'm like, once I get in the booth and like start talking, it's always fun.
Oh, it's just fun. I just enjoy it, man. I just enjoy talking about, I enjoy obviously having the conversation with Jen and Tom, you know, getting to have a conversation with them every week. But just talking about the show, I mean, especially when we get news, it's so much fun to just pick it apart and come up with these stupid ideas and theories that, like we said before, like take a photo and talk an hour about the photo. It's so absurd. That's what makes it so much fun.
Yeah, I'm never like, oh God, like I really don't want to, I hate this, and we're just, now we have to do it forever. Like, I never get that feeling. I'm always excited to talk to them and have fun. And even when we get it, when we get together before we start recording, I'm like, no, I don't even want to say anything. Like, I want to save it all for the show. Right. Like, yeah. Don't say it.
I love it. On a simple level, I love it. I love talking about the books. I love talking about the show. I love talking about new things, talking about what we're thinking about, theorizing, all the rest of that stuff. I love interacting with people in chat. I love interacting with people online afterwards.
I enjoy like the people in chat. I love knowing there's like people who care to use their time to listen to us, like to know that. And then when we meet people at cons who are like, oh, I listen to you guys that just aren't on Discord. Like, I forget that there's like a ton of people that aren't on Discord that listen to us. And then I'm like, we got to walk on, and I walked in with my husband, who was his first convention for Wheel of Time. And before we get to our room, two people recognized me. And like, probably that was it for the rest of the weekend. Just happened in like that 5 minutes. And he was like, what the hell? You're like famous. Like, I guess, I don't know.
One of the things that led to our success, and something that Jen and I both are far more passionate about than Joe was, is that we have to be out every week. We always have to be out. Like, people need to understand that we are there every week, Monday, regular, like clockwork, because people who are in and out don't develop a following, don't develop an audience, right? You don't, like, we have to do it. And we've only taken there's only been 1 week that we haven't released an episode.
Like when we started it, Joel was like, I don't even care if anybody listens. I just want to do it. And now it's like 200 episodes later, we're like still going. People are listening. So yeah, but I'm still having a lot of
fun. I wouldn't want to give that up for anything. Like I'm all in. Like we're going to be old by the time the show's over. Just old. All right. You're going to listen to my tell old man stories before every episode when it comes out to season 8 and like 2035 or whenever it's going to come out.
I love that we can say just about anything to each other and none of us take it personally. Like if we say something like that's a stupid idea, that's a dumb theory or, you know, like stuff like that. And no one's going to get offended and no one's going to like, they know it's not personal and it's we all get a laugh of it. We can all laugh at each other and laugh at the stupid things we do and the stupid things we say. And they're both really cool with that because I like to poke fun at things a lot, obviously, if you listen to the podcast. So they're both very accepting.
They're two of the people I'm closest to. They're two of my dearest friends. Jen's the godmother to one of my children. Joe was a member of my wedding party. They both were members of my wedding party. But I think it is a lucky thing when you have people that you consider friends that you also just consider just good, decent, like intelligent people that like want, not a bit cheesy, but like they want the world to be better than it is. And like, you don't get that all the time. I don't have that all the time. I have people that I'm friends with that like have some of that, but not all of that, who do have all of that, but like don't have it in the same way that I have it or whatever. So like, yeah, I don't know. They're both truly excellent people, both in, I don't know, the dictionary sense and in the Bill and Ted sense of the word.
They're all great friends. And I don't mean that in this, I mean, I do. They are great friends in the sense that they are all very close to one another, obviously, but they are all individually very good at being friends with people. And they've somehow managed to successfully replicate and distribute to a large audience to a degree, the experience of what it's like to actually be friends with them. And that's honestly, it's incredible to me, you know. And just like being friends with them in real life, sometimes I'm there too.
I love them. I love them both. You know, just, yeah. I like to push Tom's buttons, but he knows I love both of them and they're my very good friends. And I'm happy to be doing a podcast with them.
So we want to send out a special thanks to Jen, Joe, Tom, and Brendan for their participation in this video. They were all really good sports about answering secret questions and having secret meetings with us. So
I mean, we you know, like we release episodes on, you know, the three of them, mm-hmm. but then there's a special Brendan part in there too.
Yes.
So they all knew something was going on because we recorded with them, but never released mm-hmm. this part of the recording we did with them. But there was more to it than met the eye.
Yes, they were very surprised about Brendan when we played them the video tonight. And also, we're a little late for their anniversary, so maybe they, you know, they won't remember as much what they said. It'll be a nice surprise yeah. for everybody.
Yeah. Now, our original plan was to, because they usually do like a YouTube, at least if memory serves me right.
They will have live streams occasionally.
Yeah. Like, yeah. And I thought, you know, they were going to have one, and our thought was, hey, we could probably do it, you know, like how we like to like release stuff like this during a live stream, mm-hmm. you know, and have
really disruptive past. Like that.
yeah. And so that was our like an original thought, and I think they had one like live stream right around there. Mm-hmm. It was September 4th or something, after the first three, after the premiere. Mm-hmm. But we weren't ready, and they never really celebrated it, so it kind of worked out.
It worked out,
and
well.
Yeah, it definitely did.
But what's funny is, like, what is it now? November, so like it's been 3 months. Like, it took us 3 months to do it, but the work of editing it was done in like a week's time.
Yeah.
It's always, I mean, that like
sounds about right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. So, but like, you know, I don't know if we've talked about how we came up with this.
Oh, is this where you like want credit for your amazing idea?
No. I just feel like, you know, like we wanted them on our show, right? Like,
of
on,
course. On the podcast. Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
In our original doc from last year, it was like, totally, yeah. There's someone who needs to come on the show.
Yeah. And then we were like, wait, so we have them together? No, we can't do that. Let's have them separately. And then can we do a full episode with each of them and then like just mash it together into like separate recordings, but one episode? And I was like, no, there's something here. You were like, no.
I was skeptical.
You're like dumb.
No, I didn't say it was dumb. I was just like, I don't understand how that's
going to work. You didn't even say anything. You're like, yeah, whatever. Like, can you be serious now? Like, you didn't even like give it any fodder.
No, that's not true. I think I just was like, how is this going to work? They're going to be suspicious.
Can
you
read back the records, Your Honor?
There is no record of this conversation.
But no, like, yeah, but eventually it was like, okay, what if we have like a secret thing and then we do that as like a project, and then like slowly it turned into like, no, yeah, this is definitely what we have to do. And then we like planned it, mm-hmm. and then we're like, okay, this is how we'll do it, and it became like a whole thing. Mm-hmm. And yeah,
and as soon as we heard Jen answer the questions in her episode, we were like, oh, this is gonna be good. Knew we were like, oh, yeah. And then we heard Joe, and Joe was like saying some of the same things or some contradictory things, and it was just like, oh, this is gonna be amazing.
Okay, all right. Do you have a favorite part? Do we have the same favorite part? We must have the same favorite part. Not favorite part, but like one that makes you laugh. I think you know.
I have a favorite part that makes me laugh. There's another part that's like a sentimental part, and then there's the part where Brendan shows up. I love that. But
the Brendan showing up part is really cool.
It is. The one that makes me laugh the most is at the beginning when Tom and Joe are telling the story of how they met.
Yeah, I did this thing where like, you know, a friend of mine was like hanging out the window, and I like Joe really liked it.
And then Joe's like, that was total bullshit. Story, yeah, he told this story, and it was total bullshit.
And he made it up. It was bullshit. It was like perfect, and like
so perfect. Yeah. Someone really brilliant just must have edited it that way.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Whoever thought of this idea is like really smart. Mm. Yeah,
I think the execution is more important.
I think it's like journey before destination.
Oh wow! Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But I think that, and there's one other, we were talking about one other thing that's I'm forgetting it now.
Oh, I know. It's when Tom is like, I had all these ideas for podcasts, and there, and Brendan, I was like, you know, thinking of starting a podcast, and Brendan hated all of my ideas, and Brendan thought, you know, I had this idea of doing multiple topics, and he's like, that's a terrible idea. And then it cuts to Brendan, and Brendan is like,
he asked me and I said yes.
Yeah, there was no convincing. Tom just asked me, I said yes.
Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, no, it's I hope people listen, watch all of the above. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful friendship that they have.
Yeah.
It's fun to have seen them do over 200 episodes now, and continue to have a lot of fun. Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, like Brendan says, they share that friendship with us as a fandom. And so we love that. You know, they're doing the light's work.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So if you like what we do, follow us on social media. We're on Twitter at LightsWorkPod. We're on Instagram at TheLightsWork. We have our website, thelightswork.com. And there's our Discord server. You can join that. If you're willing and able, you can jump on our Patreon and support us there. And check out Talk Around Me podcast.
Yeah, if you're
the Wheel of Time Showcast.
The Wheel of Time Showcast. You're not following them or listening to them, you should do that.
Yeah. Yeah. They're a lot of fun. They record live on Discord Friday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern.
Every week.
And every week. Yeah. and then they release Monday. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so check them out. But yeah, that was a nice talk with them.
We had a good talk with the talkies.
Yeah, and it was a lot of fun. Tonight and the three times we met them back in August. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so now it's your turn to go out and talk and spread your light until the next time. What?
Wow. A for effort, but like...
messed it up. what is her thing? Okay, no. And now it's your turn to go out into the world and do the lights work.
The Lights Work is a Wheel of Time fandom podcast hosted by Anas and Grace.
The Lights Work is in no way affiliated with the Children of the Light.
Please leave us a review on your podcast platform of choice. Follow us on social media or sponsor us on Patreon.
So wait, so did you recorded questions with Jen that weren't released on the episode? Is that what it is? Grace is making a face.
I have no poker face.
okay, cool. I like this. All right. You guys are awesome.
I'm going to use these like recordings for something nefarious.
Now you're doing this just to get me to cry, and I appreciate that.
Yeah. I mean, you almost just made me cry, so it's only fair. Yeah.